Our next speaker is Tony Coleman. Tony's had a diverse actuarial career that has included many non-core actuarial roles. Today, he'll be talking primarily as a director of the Australian Carbon Trust. However, even though he's not going to touch on these things, you may be interested in some samples of his wide-ranging assignments when he was a partner at PwC. How far can actuaries go? Valuing an undersea telecommunications cable. Negotiating the extension of the M5 toll road in Sydney. Acting as an arbitrator in a dispute about the price of forestry timber. Advising Sydney Water on the selection of a tenderer to replace a sewage plant. Please welcome Tony Coleman.
Thank you, Martin. I basically wanted to talk to you about one of the smallest employers of actuaries in Australia at the present time, which is the Carbon Trust, but I think it's a microcosm of how new practice areas develop. The Carbon Trust had a little bit of a problem that the government handed it at very short notice to take over the Greenhouse Friendly program last June, which involved some fairly significant obligations and some serious business risks, which we weren't actually expecting. So at the time, it turned out that Nicole Stransky, who's an actuary with Deloitte, was looking for a step-up program project, and she volunteered quite bravely, I thought at the time, to basically get in there and do something about it, and did a really good job, and even did it on a voluntary basis, which was even better. So the board were then so impressed with, and the management were so impressed with that work, they said, gee, I think we'd better go out and hire one of these actuaries. So we now have a situation where 12 employees that the organisation have, one and a half of them, if you count me as the half, are actuaries. So we're over 10% of the employee base, Dan Mayer being the person who was then brought in to get a permanent role with the organisation. And don't seem to be able to get it to go forward here. Oh, there we go. So what does the Carbon Trust do? Very briefly, we're essentially in the business of promoting energy efficiency investment, primarily in commercial buildings, with the aim of getting carbon emissions down. Now, this differentiates us pretty immediately from a number of other government initiatives. We've been given roughly $100 million to invest. First point is, I said invest. I didn't say grant or give away. That right there, we're different to a lot of other government bodies, and we are actually competing with some government bodies who are giving away money for effectively carbon abatement programs. Of course, the next difference, we're expected to still have our $100 million in one form or another as an asset in one form or another in a few years. I won't dwell on that. That's just who's on the board. So the main program is essentially that, finding ways to invest $100 million and keep it and do it in a cost-effective manner. Now, one of the things that we've been tasked to do, we have a key performance indicator. We're not allowed to essentially invest unless we can see a way of getting the cost of carbon saved lower than $23 a tonne. And if you compare that with almost any other government program currently out there which is trying to reduce carbon, I can assure you we are at the very low end cost of the cost spectrum. And, of course, that's where we want to be. And it's also, of course, I should add here, completely consistent not only with current government policy but also very much with the sort of policy which the opposition is also promoting. It's one of those things which, fortunately, there's, I think, a reasonable degree of unanimity across the political spectrum, which, of course, as soon as you say the word carbon in this country at the moment, is anything but on most other areas. Perhaps we can talk a bit more about that. You'll notice I've managed to avoid the dreaded word of putting tax with carbon so far. The other key performance indicator that we've been given is that we must get co-investment. We must get at least $1 of somebody else's money to co-invest with our money in order to make these investments. And with the $100 million that we've been given, we would be pretty confident, although it's not a key performance indicator at this stage, that we'll get at least a million tonnes of carbon saved from the programs we initiate. So how do we actually measure this? And this is where the actuaries start coming in. Obviously, if we actually make an investment and somebody else makes an investment, the proponent generally of the project, we're then achieving significant energy savings and therefore energy cost savings, which in this calculation we value carbon emissions as worth nothing. exactly the same way as the rest of the economy does at the moment. But the whole idea is to save carbon and obviously to save energy costs from the various investments that we're doing. It's all being done with conventional, known, existing technology at the present time. Of course, once we know what the program is supposed to achieve and how much carbon it's going to save, it's a pretty simple calculation with the net present value to work out what you believe the current cost of the saved carbon is. I won't dwell on this, but that basically just gives you an illustration of where all the opportunities are. And you'll notice that the costs there of these various opportunities are all negative costs. That is, people are actually going to save money for most of these programs. And those are the sorts of things, I don't have time obviously to go into the detail, but the point I'm trying to make here is that we're actually saving money, not costing money. Why is this so? It's a bit of a feature in the economy of where the buildings are actually positioned. You'll notice that the capital requirement to get these savings is considerably higher than for most other industries, but interestingly, the value that you get, the payback per tonne of carbon, is much better than many of the others. You'll see some of the others there, the other ways in which carbon can be saved, are all sitting above the line. They're actually going to cost money as well as require capital investment. For a lot of the things we're involved in fact, virtually all of them, it's actually a revenue-saving item, and that's why it's obviously of some interest to a lot of people. Those are just some of the names of some of the people we're working with. Obviously, an organisation of about 12 people doesn't have much of a marketing division. We have to basically use other people in partnership to work with them to market what we're about. And that's begun to get quite successful now. So we're essentially relying on people like the major banks, NAB in particular, a couple of the major property management companies, and people like Origin Energy, who are energy suppliers, and some of those other parties named there, to effectively build those programs out, most of which are now well into pilot stage. I won't go into the details of each of those because I don't really think I have time, so I'll just jump over that. And if you're interested, you can find out more there. But I do think this is obviously an area that is of some interest, and we can already say that actuaries are making a contribution. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Tony. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, some wonderful insights into an area which obviously didn't exist when many of us were starting our careers.